Good evening, and thank you for being here. May the Lord bless each of us for our choice to gather and worship this evening. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, creator of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, open our hearts and minds to receive the influences of your sacrament, your scripture, in silence, that we would be fed deeply, transformed more into Christ, and the grace of your love. We ask this for your glory and our joy. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2. My beloved, obedient as you have always been, not only when I'm present, but all the more now while I am absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one who, for his good purpose, works in you both to desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you whom you shine like lights in the world. As you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, but even if I am poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you. In the same way, you also should rejoice and share your joy with me. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 27. The response is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and salvation. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord." And my salvation. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 14. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciples. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
The Spirit of the Lord is invisible and it's working in each of our lives and on this planet. It's working in our culture, in our politics, in our families, in this church and churches all around the world. The Spirit of the Lord is at work on this planet. Sometimes it's not easy to see, sometimes it's hard to discern, and sometimes it arrives in such sudden ways and surprising ways that it takes our breath away. But more often than not, the work of the Holy Spirit is slow, silent, quite hidden, and bears simple fruits in our lives that take years sometimes to manifest into their completion. Just like each of us is a little seed growing throughout the years of our lifetime, coming to some anticipated destination of fulfillment, whenever that might be, we don't know. So too, the Spirit of the Lord is at work in this world and this planet and its systems, and it's bringing about something that we can't always understand. I got such a kick out of this passage from Philippians chapter 2 in light of the election. Listen to this if you find the humor in this. Whoever put the lectionary together, some old white men in Rome probably. Listen to this. Among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. I get such a kick out of that on the day after election. But you know, it really is about each of us. It's about why you're here, why I'm here, why we're here in the first place. And it is so easy to miss the bigger picture amidst the momentary difficulties or the frictions of life or what the word calls second force. The unexpected expenses, the unexpected delays, the unexpected shortcomings of materials that Jesus talks about in the gospel. Of this fellow who wants to go to war and realizes he doesn't have enough army. Of this person who wants to build a tower and realizes he doesn't have enough supplies. It's so easy to lose sight in the moment, in the day-to-day experiences of our life, that the Spirit of the Lord is not at work. And it is so easy to give up. And it is so easy to miss the fruitfulness that each of us is called to become. That we would not labor in vain, that we would not run or live in vain, but that our lives would come to the fullness of what they are meant to be. Now, in our culture, it's easy to wonder and ponder and complain and criticize. Why is the Spirit of the Lord taking so long? Why is the Spirit of the Lord so long-suffering with what seems to be insufferable low-level consciousness? Why is the Spirit of the Lord so forbearing this group of people called Homo sapiens? But if you think about it, today we are more evolved than we have ever been as a species. And it is easy to lose sight of the fact that evolution has occurred, that we have made great progress. In a very short period of time, the Spirit of the Lord has borne great fruit on this planet, particularly through Western civilization, particularly through this country. So whatever you may feel about the election, whatever you may feel about the state of the world, I guarantee you, if we took a poll right now, given the chance of what generation to live, given the chance of what century to be born in, all of us would say right now. 100 years ago, I was born in 1972. 100 years before that, 1872, the likelihood that I would have hit 40 years old was less than 50%. Today, the likelihood that I'm going to hit 90 is almost 80%. Just that fact alone, simple fact, sheds a lot of light on how much transformation happened in the years immediately following the Civil War to the years immediately following Vietnam. We live in an extraordinary time, and the Spirit of the Lord is at work, hidden among the forces that play at the game of life. So don't labor in vain. Don't run in vain. In fact, it's impossible to run in vain for anyone who simply consents to the presence and action of the Spirit of the Lord. Because ultimately, it has nothing to do with you or me. It has everything to do with the Spirit of the Lord working through us. Each of us, little pixels of light shining through the Spirit of the Lord, shining through our little pixel, our little physicality, one among trillions of human beings who have been, who and who ever will be. So don't get lost in your story of your pixel. Know that your pixel plays a unique and eternal part and will never be repeated. And that we can encourage one another when our pixels seem to fizzle out or not be going very well. Or when we don't like the picture that is being presented by the gathered other pixels around us in our community or in our culture. But the Spirit of the Lord is at work, and if you take the long sweep of history, you can see very clearly that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing about a new future, the kingdom of God, little by little. It's a severe game of life because there is the risk that human beings might indeed miss the mark. It's a severity that Jesus is trying to point out in his insistence that following him will cost you everything, and that this is the most important thing in the world. By that I take him to mean he's calling to us to not get lost in the world of appearances and forms, to not get lost in the pixels on our television screen that tell story after story, one after another. And the storytellers have become masterful at keeping us in fear and keeping us tuned in. And Jesus is saying, hey, there is something in your presence and something that is more possible and more important than your wife, your kids, your family, everything that you could possibly think of. Draw your attention to that center, which is represented by Jesus. Jesus is the prophet that is revealing what human beings are intended to be. Awake and connected and tuned in to Abba, which is another word for relational love, which is another word for source. The manifestation or the aspect of the Trinity that represents God, Almighty Creator, source of all things. And Jesus is tuned into that source, that God, Almighty Creator, source of all things. And that capacity of tuning into God Almighty enabled him to walk on the water, not only physically but psychologically, enabled him to face his enemies that spat at him, that spoke so evil of him for no purpose, and that turned him into a criminal, a common criminal, the worst of criminals, for being nothing else but a man of peace. This is the world system. This is the world system that St. Paul says is crooked and perverse. This is the way this planet is. It's crooked and perverse. Generation after generation is crooked and perverse, not because they've done bad things, but because they are not tuned in and connected to Source. They're tuned in connected to their self. And as a result, they're kept in the prison of their programs for happiness that they learned as infants. So we've got grown men and women running around this planet that look like they're 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 years old, dressed up in the finest of uniforms and suits. But actually, they're little two-year-olds who didn't get their pacifiers long enough. They're three-year-olds who were yelled at by their father or their mother. They're four-year-olds who didn't get fed on time and are terrified because of their hunger pains. They're five-year-olds who have been hit or sexually abused. They're six-year-olds who were shamed because they were wearing the wrong shoes. And you just add all this stuff together and you begin to see what Mr. Gurdjieff called the terror of the situation. The terror of the situation is human beings with the gift of consciousness disconnected or that sense of separation from Source. That's a recipe for disaster. And thus the spiritual journey is so useful in the healing therapeutic method of centering prayer, which gently, slowly, ever so gently, begins to unload the wounds of a lifetime layer by layer all the way down into infancy, into the level of the unconscious and the collective unconscious where the crooked and perverse generation is born. The crooked and perverse generation is born at the level of the unconscious and manifests little by little as little infants seeking all the programs for happiness that are normal and ordinary, but those programs for happiness are so frustrated it creates tyrants. Left unchecked, egomaniacs, inflated egos, people who think they can do and save the world in their own terms. So without this dimension of spirit, all we're left with is psychology. Love the psychologists in the room. But without the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord, all we're left with is psychology and sociology and the survival of the fittest, which is what our culture is based upon. You win by one vote. Victory. This is not the Spirit of the Lord at work. This is the spirit of this age, which doesn't know how to win by cooperation, only by domination. And oh, the angst. And oh, the bitter fruit. And oh, the tears of sorrow. Generation after generation. But I tell you what, I would much rather be here today than 500 years ago, where someone who speaks the truth is beheaded by the king who has all power. And I would much rather have been born in 1972 when the birth rate of mothers was close to 90% in the United States of America than 1872 when the birth rate and child death rate of mothers giving birth, mothers dying of birth, was nearly 50%. And so we have to trust and connect into the Spirit of the Lord and do not believe the spirit of this age or this generation. We are aware of it. We are in it, but we are not of it. And this is what Jesus is calling us, to be fiercely independent of the spirit of the age and faithfully connected to the Spirit of the Lord. It will cost you everything to be a spirit person. That's what Jesus is saying. It will cost you the election to be a person of peace. It will cost you everything to be a spirit person on this planet. It will cost you your life, Jesus is saying. Look at what they did to him. That's what the spirit of the age does. It doesn't know what to do with love. It doesn't know what to do with the consciousness that criticizes it for its self-absorption. It reacts in fear. So, to a certain extent, we haven't evolved very far, but there are places like this, Church of Conscious Harmony. There are evidences all around the planet that human beings are waking up to the vital importance of the Spirit of the Lord as a source of truth and wisdom and goodness and power, and how that's playing out in the systems of this world will take decades. And so, let us hear the scripture again and be encouraged. From St. Paul, who in his own way struggled with the powers and principalities of the world and was defeated time and time again. My beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one who, for God's own good purpose, works in you, both to desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning. Seek to be blameless and innocent, children of God, children of Spirit, without blemish, without forgetting, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine like lights in the world. And remember, light is a symbol for consciousness. As you hold on to the word of life, which is very different from the word of death and power and fear, so that the teacher's boast for the day of the Christ may be that I did not run in vain, that I did not serve or teach you in vain, that I did not labor in vain, but that even if I am poured out as a libation and dead, giving up my life for your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with all of you. In the same way, you also should rejoice and share your joy with one another. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to preach release to the captives, to preach light to those in darkness, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. However you can do it, go for it. Thank you for your presence here to add to the reception of the light of Christ in this world, the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us more than we realize. Amen.